Dear radio friends, Jesus is coming again. This is the Christian hope. We say this not only because Jesus has promised it, and not merely as something that we expect sometime off in the future, but because we see the coming of Jesus Christ all around us. This is one of the points that we have emphasized in this series of messages on the last times, especially as we have looked at the signs of His coming. The signs of the coming of Jesus Christ are not far-off events in the future, immediately before He comes again. But the signs of the coming of Jesus Christ are events that are taking place all around us, in the nations, in the creation, and in the church. Today we're going to consider the coming of Jesus Christ, the last sign. Earlier in Matthew 24, the disciples asked, "What shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus gives to them many other signs of His coming, but now He really comes to the answer to their question. What is the sign of thy coming and the sign of the end of the world? That sign is the sign of the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven. We're going to consider Matthew chapter 24 and verse 30. "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." As we've gone through this series and looked at the signs of the coming of Jesus Christ, we've been waiting for this. And as we live our lives in this world, we long for this. This is our hope. And the interest of the child of God in the coming of Jesus Christ is personal. Jesus does not just come to deliver His church or to raise the dead in a general sense, but the ascended Jesus Christ, when He comes again, will come to me, a believer who is a part of His church. And He will come to raise my dead body, and on that day I will see Him. He is my Lord and my Savior. We can think of it in terms of this illustration. There's a woman who's a wife and a mother, and her husband is deployed, sent off to war. And perhaps think of this not in the days in which we live of modern technology and communication, but think back 100 years to the time of World War I. And so her husband goes off to war, goes across the seas on a boat, and she has no contact with him. He's gone for a long time. She doesn't know how long he'll be deployed. And she waits, and she longs for him to return. She reads the papers every day. She sees around her that the war in which he is fighting is coming to an end. And this tells her that he's coming. These are signs of his coming, his return. And then finally there is the day of his arrival, and he steps off the boat or he steps off a plane, and there he is. And this is the day of his return. This makes her heart leap. And so as we think about this, as the church, the bride of Christ who waits and longs for the coming of Jesus Christ, we're talking about the day of His final arrival. In the first words of the text, Matthew 24, verse 30, there is a time element. "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man." And then, when, we ask. Well, this takes us back one verse, at least, in Matthew chapter 24, verse 29. Jesus says, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken." What Jesus is describing here is the created universe falling to pieces. And this all seems to take place almost at the same time that He comes from the clouds of heaven. You can't imagine this imploding of the universe as something that happens over days or weeks or months, but it will be a time of great distress right at the moment when Jesus comes again. This is described for us in Luke chapter 21, verses 25 and 26 this way. "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory." But this question of when takes us not just to the end of the physical universe, the created universe as we know it, but takes us back also to the events immediately preceding the end and the coming of Jesus Christ. It takes us back to the other signs of the coming of Jesus Christ that we've been looking at in this series of messages. And so I want to recap a little bit and remind you of these signs and of the fact that they are present in the world throughout history, but increase in frequency and intensity immediately before Jesus comes again. The first sign we looked at was the sign of the gospel preaching. And then when the gospel has been preached to the ends of the earth, when the last of God's people have been called to faith by that gospel, then shall the end come. Another sign of the end is the turmoil among the nations. It's true that at the very end, the nations will be deceived under the rule of Antichrist, but there is always war in the hearts of man and rumors of war. And in fact, the scriptures speak in Revelation chapter 16 of the battle of Armageddon, the struggle between the religious and the political aspects of the kingdom of Antichrist and between the East and the West. And this turmoil will always be there, even during the time of the kingdom of Antichrist and his peace and promise of prosperity. And that's because war is in the sinful heart of man. Even though Satan and the Antichrist will promise a kingdom of peace and prosperity, the principle on which that kingdom is founded is a principle of selfishness, of man satisfying himself. And that kingdom will be the highest expression of man-centeredness. And so it will be a kingdom that cannot stand, a kingdom that in the end will be divided. Then think of the catastrophes in the earth, earthquakes and famines and pestilence in diverse places. These are the signs that lead up to that final cataclysmic event, which is the destruction of this universe. When? During times of lawlessness, abounding iniquity. In the last days, men will be eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage as they did in the days of Noah when the flood came and destroyed them all. Also, this will be a time of apostasy. People will have departed from the truth. There will be a great falling away. There will be the rise of false Christianity and the worship of man and of the Antichrist. And also a time of pleasure madness. Men will be lovers of themselves and of pleasure more than lovers of God. All these signs we have looked at as we've talked about the end times. This is the setting, and then shall the end come, and then shall the sign of the Son of Man be. Not only will it be a day when all the elect church of God has been gathered, but it will be a day in which the world has made itself ripe for judgment, and all the purposes that God has for history will have been accomplished and completed. And then God, having no reason to forbear in pouring out His judgment on mankind, will send His Son. That's the event that we consider here today. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man. Now, the coming of Jesus Christ is described here in these words, the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. What is this sign? Well, this sign does not refer simply to some signal or sound to announce the arrival of Jesus Christ. Certainly, there will be a great sound, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And you can imagine the noise as this universe disintegrates. But this sign doesn't refer to that, nor does it refer to some sign that God will place in the sky to show the redemption of Christians, perhaps, as some see it, a sign or symbol of the cross. No, this sign will be Christ Himself. Understand what a sign is. A sign is a visible representation of a spiritual reality. The spiritual reality, the invisible reality that we will get a glimpse into on that day, is the reality of heaven. Heaven is not something that's distant from us, but simply this, something that we don't see. Think of Elisha's servant in 2 Kings chapter 6. His eyes were opened and he was able to see the angels that surrounded the city. This was the spiritual reality that he didn't see. It's not that the angels came, just then, but the angels were always there. His eyes were open to see them. And the idea is that in the last day, when the sign of the Son of Man comes, God will make visible to man what is invisible to the natural eye. The realities of heaven will be displayed. As Revelation chapter 6, verse 14 has it, the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their place. Or as Isaiah 64 puts it, oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. The sign, the thing that we will see in that day, the spiritual reality, will be Jesus Christ himself in his exalted glory. And so Jesus refers to this sign as the sign of the Son of Man. This title, Son of Man, is Jesus' favorite self-designation. It does not refer simply to the fact that Jesus was human, had a human nature, that he was born of a man or of a woman, but it refers to the fact that Jesus is the exalted Messiah. It refers to the glory that he would receive in his human nature. In Daniel chapter 7, verse 14, we have the Old Testament use of this name that Jesus adopts to himself. I saw one like to the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven to the Ancient of Days, and dominion was given to him, Daniel says. This is a prophecy of the ascension and the glory of Jesus Christ in his ascension. And we will see the sign of the Son of Man. That is, the curtains of heaven will be rolled back. There will be a revelation of the glory of Jesus Christ. Now the verse tells us five things, five truths about the coming of Jesus Christ. First, it will be a personal coming. That is, Jesus himself will come on the clouds of heaven. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16, the Lord himself shall descend with a shout. He will come not only so that there will be a personal showdown between him and the Antichrist in that day, but he will come especially to meet his bride. This is what his bride, the church, is waiting for. As believers in the earth, we don't wait for the end of the world just so that our suffering may end, or for freedom from sin, or for the bliss of the new heaven and the new earth, or even just to be reunited with our loved ones who have passed away. But our hope is to see Jesus himself. And in many ways, that's the measure of our faith. What is your faith and what is your hope in this world? That is, what are you waiting for? What are you longing for? As a believer, you long to see Jesus. That's heaven, to be ever with the Lord. This will be a personal coming. Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. John 14. So first, it will be a personal coming. The second truth concerning the coming of Jesus Christ is that it will be a sudden coming. You have that here in Matthew chapter 24 in two different ways. The first is a rapid succession of events leading up to the coming of Jesus Christ and this sign. In verse 29, immediately after those days of tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man. There's a rapid succession of events, and those days, we read earlier in the chapter in verse 22, will be shortened. They will come to a sudden end. But the other thing that indicates the suddenness of the coming of Jesus Christ here is that Jesus says three different times in Matthew 24 that no one knows the day or the hour, and that he will come as a thief in the night. This calls us as believers in the earth to continually be watching and ready for the day of Jesus Christ. And this is the point of Jesus' further instruction in this chapter and in the following one. In parables, he speaks of the parable of the fig trees and the sign of spring in the fig tree and says, watch. Or the watchman who doesn't know when the thief comes, so he's always alert. or the servant whose master's gone away, but because he's a faithful servant, he's always ready for the return of his master. Or the 10 virgins in the next chapter and the 5 who are ready. The coming of Jesus Christ will be sudden, but not in this way, that it will be terrifyingly sudden for God's people, but something that we're watching for because we don't know the exact day or hour. The third truth concerning the coming of Jesus Christ is this, that it will be public and visible. Jesus says concerning his coming that the tribes of the earth shall see him coming in the clouds. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, every eye shall see him, also those who pierced him. The public, visible coming of Jesus Christ will bring everything in this world to a grinding halt. Man is busy with all the activity of his life, going here and there. And then suddenly Jesus will appear, and every eye will see him. Think of a day when a nation is attacked. For example, September 11, or December 7, when Pearl Harbor was attacked. On that Sunday morning, people were out taking their jogs and exercising. Some were busy doing laundry. Others were worshiping out in the open in Hawaii. And then suddenly this attack came and everything came to a halt. Well, so it will be on the day when Jesus will come. It will be a public and visible coming. Every eye shall see him. Now perhaps we wonder how that can be because the earth is round. How could every eye on that day see him? Well, that points to the fourth truth concerning his coming, and that is that it will be a miraculous event. Every eye will see him. That won't be by news report or television or streaming over the internet. No, every eye will see him. The naked eye will see him. Every eye in all of the earth will see him. We can't explain how that will be, and we don't need to, just to say that it's a miracle. Jesus says in Matthew 24, verse 27, that it will be like a flash of lightning that goes from one end to the other end of the sky. The curtains of heaven will be pulled back, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man. And then the fifth truth concerning his coming here is that it will be glorious. It won't be like his first coming, in which only a few people saw him come, in which he came into the lowliness and the humiliation of Bethlehem. But he will come on the clouds of heaven with great power and glory, and every eye will see him. He will come in the glory of his exalted position at God's right hand. He has been given a name which is above every name, and the glory of the Father, and a seat at God's right hand, and everything has been placed under his feet. And then he will come, as Psalm 2 has it, with a rod of iron, and he will come to judge the nations. And we as God's people will see and experience the glory of Jesus Christ in the things that he immediately does at his coming. We're going to look at some of those things in the upcoming messages, the things that will happen after Jesus comes again. But that glory will be the gathering of his church, the resurrection of the dead, the final judgment day, the vindication of God in the destruction of the devil and the wicked in hell, and the glorious recreation of a new heaven and a new earth. And all the glory of Christ will be ours in that day. For when we shall see him, we shall be like him. And an important part of the miracle is this, that this will all take place in an instant, in a snap of one's fingers. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52 says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now we see in the text a response to this coming, a mixed response. All the tribes of the earth shall mourn. This refers to those who hate Christ and hate the gospel, who have received the mark of the beast and worship his image from every part of the earth, all those who wonder after the beast. The sudden coming of Jesus Christ will make something very clear to him, that there is no escaping the wrath of God. Malachi chapter 3 verse 2 says this, Who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire. What will put fear in the heart of man in that day is the collapse of this physical universe. Man depends on the stability of this natural world. In his human wisdom, he's put God out of the universe, and he sees himself as the ruler of the waters and the mountains and the skies in this universe. He makes this world and this universe his God, and he worships the creature rather than the Creator. But suddenly, when Christ comes on the clouds of heaven, and the powers of the heaven are shaken, it will be clear that this world is not God, but that this world belongs to God. That in God we live and move and have our being. And there will be in that day no more time for repentance, no more to be brought to faith, but only terror before the wrath of the Lamb. But it's quite striking in Scripture that God's people in that day will respond quite differently. They will see and experience all the same things in the last day. The stars falling from the heavens, the mountains being rent, the great cataclysm, but God's people will not be terrified. Luke 21 depicts them as still, restful, and expectant. Lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh, Jesus says, when you see all these things. It won't be a day for God's people to gloat in the destruction of the wicked. No, because that day won't be about us. It won't be our day. It's the day of the Lord. We will glory, but we will glory in the fact that God is honored and that God is vindicated in that day. And that's the longing of the heart of every child of God, that God receives the glory. But we will rejoice in that day, and God's people will rejoice and have this different response because, as the bride of Christ, they wait for the groom to appear. And all the experiences of the signs of the coming of Jesus Christ that they will have gone through, will have spiritually prepared them for this day. In their tribulation, when a loved one is killed, when the church is scattered as a result of persecution so that it's hardly able to worship anymore, when God's people experience hunger and nakedness and they have to hide in the dens and caves of the earth, all of these things God will use to keep them spiritually alert and awake, and watching and longing for the day of Jesus Christ, crying out, "Come, Lord Jesus, yea, come quickly." Because in the end, that's the Christian hope, the day of the coming of Jesus Christ. Our hope is not found in anything here in the earth, but in the day when Jesus comes. What a glorious day that will be. We will see Him in His glory, and seeing Him, we will be made like Him. Our prayer is, "Come, Lord Jesus." Amen.